Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul, who was a murderer of Christians, spoke those words. He said that. And Paul said, if Paul said that I might know him, that I may know him, really know him. And you cannot know him and not know his power. Because it's so exudes from his being. His power is so majestic. His power is so powerful. I mean, we're talking power. Let's just take a moment and think. Have you been outside in the sun on a hot summer day? And the sun, you can feel the rays of the sun. And if you look out in the atmosphere, sometimes you can see the waves of the heat. And you know that's coming from somewhere. That's power coming from a source. Jesus has tremendous power because he's been exalted above everything. He is exalted above everything that exists on a throne. And he's my representative as a man on that throne. In other words, let's go back. He was born of a woman. He walked this earth 33 and a half years. He understands what it is to get hungry. He understands what it is to be mistreated. He understands what it is to be rejected. He understands what it is to do without. He understands what it is to be poor. He understands what it is to be everything we are ever going to experience. He went through every temptation and never sinned. Never. The only man who ever walked the planet as a man and never sinned. And you think he did that because he was the Son of God? No, it says, no. He says he disrobed. He became poor that we could be made rich. He literally took on poverty. He literally took on the form and the fashion of a man. That's what it says. So he could be like his brethren. So he could know what I feel. But he just knew God. He had a close relationship with God. He knew God was his Father. Spent a lot of time praying. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This is Resurrection Sunday. And we'll come to church on a Sunday, any Sunday, and talk about Jesus. But until you understand resurrection, until you understand the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is the most powerful event that ever happened on planet Earth. Ever. Ever. And it happened to a person. A man. And not only did it happen to a man, it happened to a man who wasn't just dead, but he was mutilated. That body shouldn't have ever come back to life. I mean, the devil stomped on him, spit on him, pulled his hair out. He did anything and everything he could physically do to him to make sure he don't come back. I mean, you ever see roadkill? Not much hope in that rabbit ever coming back. You know, I'm telling you, I don't believe Jesus' body looked very pretty. But the resurrection. See, I don't focus on the death of Christ. Because, yes, it happened. But it happened for a reason. And I can't look at the reason and not think about what the reason was. The reason was so he could get some power over to me. Resurrection power over to me. And you ain't going to walk in no resurrection power if you don't know what it is. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you and me. Now that's something to really think on. And Paul said, Betty, my goal, my number one thing is to know him and the power of his resurrection. Because that's how Paul did all that he did. You know, Paul didn't have Amtrak to travel around in. He didn't have American Airlines. He didn't have cruise ships. He didn't have telephones. But he changed the whole world because he knew the power of the resurrection. And it was a motivating force in his life. This man was driven with this power. There's something about the power of God will make you want to do for God. It'll make you want to seek God. It'll make you want to know God. But I'm talking about that burning desire. And it's not like I want to buy anything or I want to get anything. You know, my main thing is I want to know the power. I want to walk in this power.
Amen.
You give me some power, God, and show me how to use it. You know, God isn't going to give his power to just anybody either. He's not going to give his power to just anybody.
Yes, amen.
Because if you're a selfish, self-centered, it's all about me person, you would use the power just for you.
Right.
And God doesn't want a person like that having the power. Mm-hmm. He wants to get all the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Selfish people pretty much want the glory. Look at me. Look what I got. Look what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's about what he has done. It's about what he has provided. And then you start making a big deal out of Jesus. I make a big deal out of Jesus. He will make a big deal out of you. And for some reason, that just stuck with me. And so I don't want any fame or any, I really don't care about even having money. I just care about knowing the power of the resurrection. Because if you know the power of the resurrection, you can get anything you want. If you're walking in that kind of power, if you got resurrection power going on in your life, you can have anything you want. And you don't want anything but that.
Amen.
I don't want anything but resurrection power working in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you understand what I'm talking about? But you got to know him first before you can't get to the power until you know the one who power is coming from.
That's right.
Because it's coming from him. You can just feel it. You know? You can just feel it. My favorite thing to do is just turn on some worship and praise music and get before the Lord and just fellowship with Jesus and just tell him how much I love him and how much I appreciate what he's done for me and healing my mind. Oh, it was such a messed up mind. Healing my body. Knowing that but I do not walk in the fear that I used to walk in because I know the power of faith. I know what faith is now. I know what it is to trust God now. I know the power. I know Jesus. And I know the power of his resurrection. Do I know all of it? If I lived 1,000 lives, I would never know it all. We're going to go on into the kingdom, children of God. Let me tell you a fact right now. You're going to go on into the kingdom of God. And you're going to continue for eternity to learn about what Jesus did for you. And what God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You're going to spend the next couple of thousand years learning about what he really did. Because the Bible says so. That in the ages to come, we're going to talk about it forever. And we're going to be thankful, buddy. We're going to be thankful that we've got the glory in our lives. This is a tiny, tiny spot. It's a spot on the radar of your life right here. It's a tiny blip on the radar of your life, this life right here. I want to know his power. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection because I've seen too many miracles. I've seen a woman's leg grew right out in front of me. I laid hands on her. I said, put your feet. She'd been in pain for 15 years. I was asked to speak at a woman's conference. There was 300 women there. And of course, but I'm not here to talk about the suffering. I'm here to talk about the power of his resurrection and what it can do for a human life if you will believe it. You ain't going to get nothing without believing God.
Amen.
You ain't going to get nothing without trusting God. And you got to step out of this natural realm and step into the spirit realm. Let me give you a nugget of truth that will change your life if you receive it. As long as the devil can get you, can keep you in bondage in the mind realm, he will whoop you up the side of the head every day. But if you'll get him in your spirit realm, if you'll pull the devil into the spirit realm where God is, where you are supposed to live, remember being led by the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, that's where we walk. But if you can bring those same thoughts into captivity and bring them into the realm of the Spirit, you'll whip him every time. You'll whip him up on the side of the head. Now, he don't want you to know that. He doesn't want the believer to know the power of the resurrection. And the resurrection power will give you the ability to do that every time. Every time I remember a past memory, and the dot starts drawing a line over to the pain, and I start that weeping stuff. You know, weeping and crying and bawling and squalling never got me nothing. I don't think anybody has ever outcried me in this place. I have cried more tears. Did it get me anywhere? No. But this right here will. You're looking at somebody that it's working for. And it has worked for. I don't cry very often anymore. I stopped crying a few years back. I'd say about 20 years ago, I woke up and realized, oh, I'm supposed to cry. Crying and bawling and squalling, I could beat my head against the wall, and I've done that too. I've trashed apartments. I've trashed houses. I've done anything and everything. Screamed and thrown tantrums. Y'all don't look at me like that ain't true. Y'all do it too. Because we're human. I tried harder than anybody tried. And couldn't make nothing happen. But I know who does make it happen. Amen. I know who is happening.
Yes.
It's Jesus.
Praise God.
He's the one who changed everything for me. And he began to speak to me about knowing his power and how to operate in the power. Because the power is here on the earth for me to operate in. Electricity was around for thousands of years. Do you think would light bulb come along just because it was here? No, it took somebody to have some revelation knowledge, and I believe God gave it to a man and showed him how to harness that power and make it useful for humanity. And the same electricity that'll help you cook your meal will also kill you if you don't know how to walk in the knowledge of how to take to operate in that. There's laws that operate in electricity. I'm telling you, God wants us to know how to operate in the resurrection power of God. To know him. Just to know him. You know, I don't serve a dead Jesus. I serve a living Jesus. And he says to me, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Then he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my burden is light, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I used to read that verse and I think, wow, life is so hard. I'm missing something somewhere. I'm missing this. I'm missing this point. And you know, the motivator for me was I ain't going to hell for nobody. Mm-hmm. I try to go to church and my husband would say, you go to church and I will divorce you. I was married to one of them. Thought he ruled my life. Thought he owned me. Thought he could tell me anything to do and everything to do. A real control freak. And the thing that really gets me about men who want to control women is that they think they got their life together to tell another person how to live when they can't even control their own life. They ain't got no life either. So let me control my life and then let me help you control your life. Well, how well are you doing in controlling your life? I'll follow a person that control their life. I'll follow a man like that who can make things happen. But it's hard for me to follow anybody that doesn't know Jesus. So I said to him, I said, I love you, I'm your wife, and I'll cook your food, I'll clean your house, I'll do your dirty laundry, I will be everything you need me to be, I will do anything, take care of the kids. It's my first husband, I had two babies. I said, but you ain't going to send me to hell. Because you wouldn't die for me like Jesus did. And you know what he had the nerve to tell me? Oh, yeah, I would. Oh, yeah, I would. Oh, yeah, I would. I looked at him, I'm thinking, oh, no, you wouldn't. Oh, no, you wouldn't. Push come to shove, skin to skin, you would not. You would bail. Just let him drag you to the cross and say, you mean I got to die on that cross so she won't go to hell? I don't know about this. He'd bail. He'd bail. You think a man would be nailed on a cross for me? Uh-uh. But a man did. A man did do that. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he never will change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves me with an undying love. He's so crazy about me. And he's so in love with me. He would do anything for me. Anything for me. Anything for me. He would do anything for me. And I believe that. I believe that. But he won't violate the law of faith. You're going to have to do it the way he said to do it. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. I'm being led by the Spirit right now. Y'all know that. Spirit of God is speaking to us. Romans chapter 10. Y'all know the book of Romans was written to a church full of people. It's a church at Rome. It was a letter by the Apostle Paul to the Romans in Rome. And we've taken this one verse, these verses here in chapter 10, and we forget it's talking to Christians. It's talking to us, the believer. Paul is giving us a revelation of the resurrection power of God. Because remember, he said in Philippians, the letter of Philippians, his whole goal was to know Jesus. I think Paul knew Jesus. I think Paul knew the power of the resurrection, don't you? So if anything Paul says, I'm listening. I'm listening to you, Paul, because you know Jesus and you know the power of his resurrection. And then he gives us these instructions. And they will work 100% of the time. These instructions are the same instructions that he gave the church 2,000 years ago. You won't find these instructions in the Old Testament because the Old Testament is the covenant to the Jews. But you'll find it in the New Testament because it's our testament. It's our covenant that Jesus cut with his own blood. He cut a covenant with God on my behalf. I didn't have to cut a covenant with God, but Jesus Christ on that cross when that blood was shed, he cut a covenant between him and his Father for the human race for eternity. And I have access to the covenant. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus. I have access to heaven because of that covenant. I have access to the throne of God because of the blood. And I can go boldly to the throne of grace. Yes. And I can receive grace, mercy, and help in the time of need. And I'm bold with God because I know the power of the resurrection and the glory that followed. And he wants to share that glory with you. He wants to share that glory with his church so badly. He cannot wait till we wake up and say, yes, we want it. Yes, we want it. Yes, we're going to walk in it. Yes, we're going to raise the dead. Yes, we're going to cast out devils. Yes, we're going to heal the sick. Yes, we're going to do the things that you did on the earth. Because you're our head and we're your body. Yes. He went to a lot of trouble to birth the church of the earth. You can't find the word church in the Old Testament. It wasn't here yet. It took the resurrection of Christ, and he couldn't be raised until he went to hell, paid for all the sins of man, and was raised from the dead. So now we have resurrection available. Resurrection power. But getting back to chapter 10 of Romans. He talks here about, in this whole chapter, he talks about two different kinds of knowledge. Remember the tree that was in the garden they were forbidden to eat? Remember the trees? There was the tree of life. And they said, eat freely of that tree. Then he said, but there is a tree called the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, the day you eat of that tree, you'll die. Don't eat of that tree. And the devil has so twisted our thinking about God. The devil wants you to think God is a desperate, mean God with a ball bat ready to bop you every time you do something wrong. And that is the farthest picture of God as the truth in the world. God didn't say, now I'll get you if you eat of that tree. No. It's like the same instructions that you would give a little child off a hot burner. Now, honey, don't touch that. You will get burned if you touch that. Now, is that mean? Is that mean to give those instructions to a child? Now, don't you touch that. You'll get burned. I want you to get burned. No, he was trying to save mankind the heartache that would happen. Don't eat of that tree. Don't touch it. Adam told Eve, don't even touch it. But they did. And that tree was named the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that tree is representative of a whole way of life, a whole world system of living. And from that moment they ate the tree willingly, the whole human race was placed under a way of life. From that moment on, man was on his own. He was barred from the Garden of Eden, and there was angels set around the tree of life so they couldn't go back and touch that tree of life. That always wondered about that. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about two kinds of knowledge. The knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. What's really good and what's really bad. And it would be great if we had God telling us, okay, that's bad and that's good. You should do this and you shouldn't do that. If you do this, if we had God all the time, and we do now, but before they didn't. So from that moment on, the man and the woman had to figure out, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this good? Is this bad? And all decisions in life are based on choices now. And we don't always know the outcome of the choices, do we? So we're trying to figure out all the time, well, is this the right thing to do? Is this the wrong thing to do? If I do this, then this will happen. Or maybe if I do that, this will happen. And you're just hoping that things will work out. So you're just kind of like playing Russian roulette all the time in your life. You're always just trying to figure out, well, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right way to think? Is this the right way to believe? Or is this the wrong way to think and wrong way to believe? See, knowledge of good and evil is a powerful force that we've been plummeted under because of Adam and the sin he committed. God told him, don't eat it. Because without eating that, we would have just enjoyed life, 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 life. Blessings, blessings, blessing in relationship with God. But that isn't what happened, is it? So God, through the Holy Spirit, remember, let's go back. Paul knew Jesus, and he knew the power of the resurrection. And he's talking here about two kinds of knowledge. And he said there is the knowledge of righteousness by the law, and there's the knowledge of righteousness, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. So let's read this verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, what kind of knowledge is he talking about? I can tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about that he can know him and the power of his resurrection. If the Jews had known the power of God and the power of Jesus' resurrection, knew that who he was with the Son of God, they would have never crucified him. But they didn't they crucified the Son of God, so they didn't have any right knowledge, did they? They had their own way of thinking. And they crucified the Son of God. That's some dumb people. But they had the wrong kind of knowledge going on. And Paul was right there with them. Paul was a Pharisee. Remember when Stephen was stoned, he was right there. He killed Christians. He had the wrong kind. He ought to know. He's talking from a position of authority because he'd been there. So he says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you can get a grip on this, it will change your life. Jesus is the end. When you run into Jesus, you come to a dead end. There it is. It's just like, bam, in your face. You can't go beyond Jesus when it comes to righteousness with God. Because Jesus is the way to the God the Father. He's the way, the power of resurrection power. Verse 3, for they are being ignorant of God's righteousness. They just don't know. I didn't say they were stupid or ignorant, but they just didn't know. That's what it's talking about. Ignorant means they just didn't know the right thing. They ain't thinking right. And they said they went about trying to establish their own righteousness, trying to feel good about themselves. You know, when you do something right, everybody wants to feel good, self-affirmation. Everybody wants to feel good. Like when I do something good, it makes you feel good, right? But this is talking about they're trying to feel righteous. And that's what religion will do. Religion says you do it this way and then you can feel righteous. It's an emotional thing. It's very soulish. Religion is very soulish. But they didn't submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, I can read that and understand perfectly what he's saying. Because I understand who Jesus is and the power of his resurrection. Righteousness is a powerful force that is imparted to the believer. A sense of knowing you're in right standing with God. that it isn't based on anything you do or anything you don't do. It's not based on anything you will ever be or won't be. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. If you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you know that you've got right standing with God, and you can go right up to God's face and you can talk to God like I'm talking to you. If we know that God hears us, then we know that we have a petition that is desired of Him.
Amen.
But see, that condemnation and that feeling of, oh, I'm not really righteous enough to talk to God. I don't think God loves me. I don't think God cares. I don't think He hears. And that'll be just the feature of prayer life. You just shot holes clear through your prayer. Forget praying. But see, when you know God is on your side, when you know the power of the resurrection, when you know what God did for you when He died, Jesus died for me. I cannot look at the cross and not say, that can't be for nothing, God, not in this life. I can't let you have gone through that just for nothing. Amen. Here's one that wants to know why you did that. Why did you do that? Mm-hmm. What was going on there? Just because you wanted to do it? No, He did it for a reason. So He could be my advocate before God. So He could be my lawyer, my intercessor. So He could be my Savior. He could be my King. Is this a resurrection message this morning?
Amen. Yes, it is.
See, the resurrection, if Jesus had just died a horrible death, He would have just been a martyr that we all could just talk about. But see, He didn't stay dead.
Praise God.
That power that rose Him from the dead in this horrible state He was in is available to us. I'm sitting on a couch one day in northeastern Kentucky, and I'm reading about the power of resurrection, studying on it, meditating on it, thinking on it. I knew that if I could just know Him, and if I could just understand and know the power of His resurrection, I knew that my whole life would change. And it has. And it would have anybody. He's no respecter of persons. So He says here, look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. There's the dead end right there. You think you're righteous because of what you do or don't do? Huh. No. Your righteousness is not based on how good you are or how many times you've not sinned or how many times you've not lied or how many times you have lied. You being unrighteous isn't based on that either. Let me give you a little awakening. The power of the resurrection and the righteousness that came along with it will always belong to me. No matter how bad I am, it's mine because I belong to Jesus. And I'm only one forgive me away from being, bam, right back in right standing with God. That's what's so wonderful about being a Christian. You'll sin. Yeah, you will. Just give yourself a little time. You might go through a day and not curse nobody out. You might want to. I have had to repent so many times, it's not funny. Some weeks are worse than others of repenting. But one thing I'm positive of is if He said He's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins, I know that it's true because He cannot lie. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's because I'm a Christian. That don't apply to sinners. Did you know that don't apply to sinners?
No.
That applies to the believer. That's my promise. Sinners ain't got no promise of God till they come into the covering of the covenant. Got to come through the door. Got to get born again. Christ is the end of the law. Remember all the do's and all the don'ts? All the rights and all the wrongs? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Remember that? And I want to put forth this thought to you. That the tree of life that man was banned from, we can now freely eat of it. It's made available to me through Jesus. All I want now is the tree of life. And I enjoy it every day. Mm-hmm. Give me some more tree of life. Fruit of that life. Give me some more fruit of life. I don't know what kind of tree it was. But it really represents a way of life. Is what it really represents. A way of living. In St. John chapter 15, Jesus said these words. He said, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I used to read that, and I'm thinking, How can I get the word abiding in me? How can I let the word abide in me? Now, let me tell you about the word abiding. God gave me revelation of this years ago. Think about if you were getting ready to order something on the internet, and the guy you're on the phone with, you're ordering, he said, can you give me your mailing address? In my case, I don't have a carrier, so I got to give him my mailing address and my shipping address. Because if you're going to send it to me ground, you got to have a physical address, because they don't have a carrier here. But if I can get it from post office, that's fine. I'll give you my P.O. box. But do I abide at the P.O. box? Can I say I abide at the P.O. box? No. I abide at 208 Dudley, apartment 3A. That's my home. That's where I kick off my shoes, take off my makeup, frizz my hair, look any way I want to look. Because I abide there. That's my home. I pay the rent there. I pay the electric bill. And if I want to move my couch over there, I will. Nobody comes and tells me how to move my stuff around. Because it's my home. That's what we are supposed to be, at home with the Word of God. The Word of God is supposed to be our home. It's our ground address. It's where we go and live. I live in the Word. His Word abides in me. It literally is living in me. And that's wonderful. And he says, anything you ask, it'll be done to you. St. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Remember your address? I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withereth. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now that word ask has to do with a state of mind. It is all about your frame of mind. The Word of God will put you in the right way of framing your words. It'll put you in the right position with God. His Word will teach you how to talk to God, how to believe God, how to approach God, how to worship God. I mean, the Word of God is literally sets the stage for your life. And a lot of people think that God is saying, when you ask, it's really beg. If you beg of me, like some little puppy on the ground just looking for a crumb. Will you please help me? No, it's not talking about that. He's talking about walking in fellowship with him and being equal with him in his word. Do you see that? The word in you puts you on a different plane altogether. Because now you're walking in something that's bigger than you, greater than you. What's bigger than the Word of God? If you have the Word has resident in you, you're not going to ask anything or think anything outside of the Word. And you know what the Word is? It's Jesus. You can't separate Jesus from his Word. And this is Jesus talking. Amen. I'm trying to help us today. I'm trying to help all of us walk in some greater revelation of the Word of God. Yes. And he says, if you'll just abide in my Word, how can you abide in something you don't know? I don't know where I live. I don't know where I live. I guess I live. Maybe I live over there. Maybe I live over there. You're a crazy person. Don't you know where you live? I live in the Word. The entrance of his word giveth light. Okay. Let's go back to Romans, then I'm going to finish up, I believe, pretty soon. Romans chapter 10. And when you get home, read it again. Romans chapter 10. Read it 10 times. Read it out loud until you really get the revelation that God wants you to have for you. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith two kinds of righteousness, two types of knowledge of righteousness, the righteousness which is of the law and the righteousness which is of faith. Which do you think is best? Which one would you choose? Which kind of righteousness would you choose to live by? Would you rather choose to live by the righteousness which is the law? Or would you rather learn how to live in the righteousness which is by faith? You got a choice, by the way. Remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You got the choice here. You want to live by the law of righteousness? The righteousness of law? Of the law? Or do you want to live by the righteousness which is of faith? But see, that's all foreign to us. Because we've never eaten that tree. The tree of life. We've always eaten of, okay, well, it feels right, looks right, I think it's right. See, religion is man's attempt to explain God. And that's what the Jews did. They were always trying to understand God by the law. All the do's and all the don'ts. But Jesus is, I mean, Paul is talking here about a different righteousness, which is by faith. And faith is not something of the head, faith is of the heart. If you're trying to serve God, you can forget it. If you're trying to believe God, forget it. Faith is of the heart. Faith is of the spirit. You either believe God or you don't. That's how you can know whether you're walking by faith. If you're trying God, forget it. You're not really, you ain't got God if you're just trying God. You ain't really got Jesus if you're just trying Jesus. He says here, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Here it is, it's talking to you. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? You see the word again there? Can you handle a little bit more revelation? Is your tank too full? Is your sponge too saturated? Can you take a little more in? I'm going to give you a little more. There's some mature Christians in here who can take this. Most Christians are always trying to get Jesus to come down out of heaven and deal with the devil for them. Most Christians are trying to get Jesus to come back and go on the cross again. Most Christians are trying to get Jesus to heal them when he's already healed them on the cross or on the whipping post. And he sealed the deal when God raised him from the dead. God sealed the deal, I should say. And they're always trying to get God to come down and do something. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is not coming back down here to do anything. Because he already came once, he's already went to the cross once, he's already been raised from the dead once, and he doesn't have to go through all that again, thank God. And it was enough, one time was enough to get the job done for Jesus and for Almighty God. For he so loved the world that he gave him once. He's not coming back down again. But he set him at the right hand of God, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. Now, who is his feet? We are. And he is waiting on the church to put the devil where he belongs to be, under the soles of your foot. Put the boot under his neck and deal with him yourself. See, we cry and beg God to come down and deal with the devil when God says, I told you to deal with the devil. You're on the earth, you're the body of Christ. If you're sitting in that chair, your head ain't in that chair and you're over and your body's in this chair. Jesus, the head of the church, is in heaven. But he left the church in earth so that we could continue the works of Christ. You know, the devil had one Jesus to deal with. And I'm sure he was tormented to no end for 3.5 years when Jesus was in his ministry. And he thought he had, I'm sure the devil was thinking, thank goodness, he's out of here. And guess what happened? Just like sowing a seed, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You ever plant one ear of corn? I was raised on a farm. You plant one little seed, it's amazing how many little more seeds you get. Well, the next thing the devil knew, here's a whole crop of believers that act and talk just like Jesus. Devil must have been. So now he's got a new problem. Now let's see what we're going to do about these people who think they got this power going on. You can study church history and see his different attacks. He's a genius. The devil is an evil genius, and he knows he's got a problem on his hands because the sleeping church is waking up.
Amen.
To the resurrection power, to what Jesus wrought, what God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him far above all the principalities and powers and every dominion, every name that is named above heaven. I mean, everything is under Jesus. And we're his body in the earth. I'm getting ready to give you a powerful key that'll change your life. Change your life forever. Verse 8. But what does this word, revelation and knowledge about righteousness of faith, really say? What's it really talking about, this righteousness which is of faith? I understand the righteousness of the law and all the do's and don'ts and keeping the Ten Commandments and all those things. But what about this righteousness which is faith, which is a spiritual force? And how do I get into that? Well, this is what it says. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate Jesus from the Word of God. He is his Word. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. You cannot lie. If you'll confess with your mouth the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, think of it that way, put the Word of God, if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, resurrection power. Here's resurrection power right here. If you believe that, confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you shall be delivered. Talking to Christians. You will be delivered. See, I don't pray my problem. I put the Word on it. Because it was the Word of God that created that thing to begin with. Now, I know a car is a man-made thing, but you know everything in that car, God created it. Did you know that? It comes from the elements of the earth. Right? There's nothing in the earth that just poofed out of nowhere. Plastic is even a chemical composite of things that are already here. Your body was created by the Word of God. Your body responds to the Word of God. The power of the resurrection is this right here. But it's in your mouth that you react. It is activated. And it's in your heart. So you can get this and this working together. Because this is connected to this. And you get this coming out of your mouth, you're speaking power. And he says so right here. Verse 10, for with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto. And you, whatever you need to be saved from. If you have family members that need to be saved, you've got authority over that family. My children, I got to share this and I'm going to close. My son called me, all excited. They were on their church, on their way to church. Actually, they were on the way back from Good Friday service Friday night. I'm down here painting and stuff, and he said, Mom, your granddaughter, Sarah. I said, what does she do? He said, she got saved tonight. I said, really? Darlene and you guys are here that day, and I had a dream. I saw Sarah screaming at the top of her lungs, crying out to my name, Grammy, 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 just screaming and crying at the top of her lungs. And I woke up hearing that, and I was just burdened all day over. I kept hearing Sarah crying out and crying out and crying out in her little heart. I just could feel her. And I said, Darlene was getting ready to go out the door. Didn't I grab you? And I say, that was Friday afternoon around 1:00. And they're about 3 hours because they're in New Mexico. And Darlene and I took hold hands and we just claimed her for the kingdom. And we bounced Satan off of her. And we bounced every work of darkness off of her life, didn't we? And we took authority over the devil in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Then that very night, she gets saved. She's 6 years old. She'll be 7 in June. So she's closer to 7. And Brian says, and you know what else? See, I sent him a little money. I sent her a little money for Easter. I sent all the first thing he wanted to do before on our way to church in the car, he says, Daddy, I want to give Jesus 10% of this. I want to pay my tithes. Goes to church, sows her tithes, gets saved, and even gets up in front with a microphone. He says, "Your granddaughter." Well, she comes by it honestly. So she took the mic and got it in front of all those people and told all of them how she got saved and how she had a headache and God healed her. And I'm just so excited. I'm thinking about the prayer we prayed and how I had that dream about her and I had burdened all day for her. And then he said on the way home, they're driving through El Paso and there's a guy standing with a sign at a stop sign that said, "I'm homeless" on it. And said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, I want to give that man some money. I want to give him some money." That man right there. He says, "I'm homeless." And he pulled over and he said, "My daughter wants to give you some money." And she gave him $2. And she didn't have it much to begin with. But she gave the man $2. And so I could hear her in the background. "It said he's homeless, Daddy." He was trying to correct him. "I'm homeless." And Brian said, "Yeah, she can read." I forget she can read. But I just thought, that is precious. Father, I thank you, God, for the days, this word today. I thank you for the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ that works in our lives today. I thank you, God, that there is saving power in the resurrection of Jesus. I thank you for the glory that follows your suffering. But I want to focus on what you provided for the church. I want to focus, God, on what you are doing right now as my advocate before the Father. I focus, God, today on what you are doing for the church in these last days. That you're pouring out your spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Glory to God. You said in the last days, glory, you're pouring out your spirit. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the glory. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you, God, you're so good. Glory to God. I give you praise. You are a good God. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.